She always leaves when I'm starting to do my sermon. I'm not sure if that's, you know, did I say something wrong? Nah, just kidding. She actually listens up there, I know. Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm reading from the 21st verse, verses 23 through 32. Listen for God's word. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. The title of the sermon, for most of us who are over the age of 50 or 60, we get, "Who's on first?" It's a great comedy routine by Abbott and Costello. And for those of you who are younger, after the service, Google it. But don't just look it up and read it. You need to listen to it. It is hilarious when you listen to it. It's kind of weird and dull when you just read it on paper. And this is when I read this chapter, these verses that I read today to you, and I've read them in the past, I think of that whole skit every time. Because it's this silliness of asking questions and at least not getting the answers that you really are looking for, because people don't understand what's going on. And I wonder how much in our lives we ask questions and don't really understand what answers are coming to us, because the questions we're asking aren't really the ones we ought to be asking, or we have so little understanding of what it is we're trying to find out that even when we are told that just straight up, we don't get it. Dealing with God is not like dealing with each other. God does not speak to us the way my wife speaks to me. She says, "The garbage needs to be taken out." Okay, after, you know, a long time, I figured out that's mean. Get up out of your chair, go get the garbage, and take it over to throw it out. That's not how conversations with God often go. And this conversation that was had today started, the whole reason for this is, if you go back just a little bit in Matthew, you will find that what is going on is all of the temple workers, the priests, Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of them are angry. And they're angry for the reason that is the most aggravating reason of all. Jesus got into our pocketbooks yesterday. He ran all the people out of the temple that were selling the things that you had to buy to do sacrifices. You could only buy them there. They had a real monopoly. If you came in with your goat and you were going to give that to be your sacrifice to God for your sins, No, you can't use your goat. It's not blessed enough. You have to pay us for our goat to do it. It was a really good scheme they had going. And so Jesus went in and just really showed out turned over all the tables, ran them out of there, and said, this is totally wrong. And now this is not the milk toast Jesus that we are used to talking about. The one where Jesus just gives you an answer to your question that may lead to something nice and good over there. Or the Jesus that in a few months we'll be looking at in every nativity scene with a cuddly little baby who, by the way, is always white and there really wasn't white. But that's okay. We'll deal with that when Christmas gets here. Anyway, Jesus got his dander up and went in and cleaned out the whole business, and all you can imagine, these guys sat around all night long trying to figure out what we're going to do about this, because this man's in my pocketbook and I got a chariot payment soon and I gotta get going here. That's how the priest in the temple made their living, was by cheating the people who they were supposed to be serving. Jesus doesn't like that a lot. He did not like it then, and he does not like it now. And he went and took their money supply away from them. You see, Jesus has gotten to a point where it's time. It's time. This is going to happen, and no more dancing around the answers to questions. No more asking weird questions and trying to tell them, because they obviously have their ears closed. It's time. It's time to start setting things straight, to getting things right. Jesus has made them mad, and they think they're going to get back at Jesus, and they just brought a knife to a gunfight. They start questioning Jesus. By whose authority have you done this? And it is a good little game they're playing, because if he claims it's his own authority, he admits to having no institutional or cultural legitimizing of what he did, how he acted, how he walked in and cleaned out the place. By whose authority do you do this stuff? If he said my own, they would mock him and throw him out and probably have him arrested. And on the other hand, if he said it's God's authority, he would be charged with blasphemy. At least blasphemy, and then violating the rightful people who make decisions in that town, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was a no-win question for Jesus. He knew it. They stood up all night long trying to get to this place, to be able to ask that question, and they did. And Jesus, being very smart, having taken rhetoric at Hampden Sydney, he understands the laws of rhetoric. And he said, I'll answer your question when you answer mine. And he asked. He asked about John the Baptist. Was his baptism something that God made happen? Or was it something of human origin? No, they're in trouble now. Because there's a lot of people around, and they don't particularly care about the Pharisees and the Sadducees to begin with, because they know they're getting fleeced, and they liked John the Baptist. They liked him a lot. He talked about God in ways they could understand. And so, having him now gone, they don't know what to say. And I imagine in a lot of our conversations with God, that's kind of where we get to, that point where we don't have anything else to say. After we've spewed out everything that we're angry about and all the things we really want God to do for us today, to make the weather good, make the Packers win, make, you know, whatever it is that we're really looking for. And when we get all done with that, we just sit there and don't know what else to do. That's kind of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people in the temple, were feeling at that moment. Jesus could have just turned around and walked away. He could have said, you're not going to answer my question, I'm not going to answer yours. Instead, he lets them have it. He really does. And he tells them that the most hated people in all of Israel, prostitutes, all the really bad people, tax collectors, Roman tax collectors, which were the most hated. And he said, they're getting into the kingdom before you. You're not going anywhere. They're going in front of you. You act like you're in charge, and you're in charge of nothing. And you don't get it. You don't have any idea of how dumb you are. He is insulting them in ways that are just beyond belief. Now, that didn't endear himself too much to them. But on the other hand, it didn't really matter, because Jesus knew where this was going. Jesus knew what was happening and was readily going that way. So the question, I think, that is pertinent for us here today, the question that we might want to think of, how many times have you been asked by God to do something and you walked away? And how many dumb questions have you asked to God in your life? Dumb questions are the only ones that are dumb questions are the ones you already know the answer to, but you don't like that answer. And humans are really good at asking God dumb questions, especially when we know the right answer is the one we don't want. It happens all the time. I sat in a meeting, Presbytery meeting, not the whole Presbytery, the cabinet. I can hardly say that without throwing up. On Thursday for 6 hours, and they're trying to decide whether to have an endowed fund or not. After 4.5 hours, I left the room for 30 minutes because I couldn't take it anymore. I came back, they were still doing it, and after a while I just said, has anybody asked God about this? They all looked at me like I had things growing out of my ears. And they began to tell me why God really wanted it so that the presbytery would be here forever. And I kind of laughed. I said, nobody's here forever. Nothing is here forever. Do you not read the Bible? Of course, most of these people were pastors. We ask the dumbest questions of God because we're scared to ask him the big questions. We're scared to death, like these Pharisees and Sadducees should have been. They did not know they were dealing with God right in front of them. We're scared. We're scared to ask the difficult questions of God. The difficult ones on our behalf is, what is it that you want me to be and do right now, today? Do you really mean for me to change my life and do something differently? Now, we'll ask the other questions. God, help us get what we want. But the really hard questions, we stay away from. We don't want to hear that. We're afraid that we will get the answer. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? What am I supposed to be doing today, right now, right here? What is it that I'm supposed to change in my life so that I will be walking a closer walk with God? Those are the really tough questions. That is the question that we see in this meal that is in front of us. A meal that is set, the table is set by Jesus, who knew where this was going. Or the first time it was set, when Moses knew where it was going. I think the big question we need to start asking ourselves, if we will be honest with ourselves, is, am I really asking God the right questions and listening for God's answer? Unfortunately, I do not believe that the people in that temple in that day ever really understood what they were missing out on, what the problem was. Perhaps at some point they did. Perhaps they quit asking questions that they really didn't have an answer for or even knew why they were asking, except for some other reason. I dearly hope that your life does not go by without you asking the very difficult, tough questions from God and listening for the answer. Because God's just so looking forward to talking to you. And I give thanks that He is. Amen.